Hello, welcome to the Tuts Experience with your host and returnee, Mr. Kieran Ari Tuttiette. Oh, it's so good to be back with you, my friends, my family. Oh, it's going to be good, and we're going to have a nice catch-up. But first, Rick Astley. Oh, that's Rick Astley with Together Forever. Got to number one here in the United Kingdom. No, and he only got to number two, sorry, in 1988. Got to number one in Canada, Ireland, and the United States. Billboard Hot 100. So yeah, that's pretty awesome for him. But that was basically poor old Rick Astley's... Well, his only number one was Never Gonna Give You Up, which we've all been Rickrolled about, haven't we? Yeah, we have. But, oh, good old Rick Astley. I love a bit of Rick Astley, don't you? I do. I mean, he's 53 years old now, would you believe? He doesn't look it at all. We've seen him recently. And born in 1966, same year as England won the World Cup, so say no more than that. Right, anyways, let's stop rambling on. Welcome to the Tuts Experience. This is a personal journal podcast from yourself, from myself, not yourself. I'm having a identity crisis here. Yes, panic stations. So it's great to be back here on the Trending Topics Network, here on Podbean. It's absolutely lovely to be back again. Now, it's been a real sad shame. I haven't been able to do a show since March of earlier this year, and this is episode number 69. Oops. Rude. Yes, I'm afraid it is. I'm afraid. So, you know, sadly, I am the king, I think, of the rudeness and innuendos and all that type of stuff. And I do love a giggle. And I think if any of you guys know me personally, I do love a good giggle. But, you know, sometimes I do love a good cry, which is sad, I know. But it's true. It's true. I'm one who is probably more in touch with his emotions than most men, I must admit. That I have never met... I've never met Rob. He's my husband, for Christ's sake. What am I going on about? I think it's the heat. I think it's just getting to me. Because even this afternoon here on Sunday, the 28th of July, 2019, it's still quite warm. And we've just had a humongous hot spell in the last week. It's not been very nice at all, personally. But, yeah, so what was I saying? Goodness me. Oh, yes, with Rob. Rob's never cried in front of me. And I think I've cried in front of him a few times. If any of you long listeners heard around January of 2014, I had a bit of a breakdown because I unceremoniously got pushed out of a job which I had for 10 months in around 2013 while I was at Panache Travel, and yeah, I went straight to Blue Star and I've never looked back other than in May 2017 when I went down to the Hard Interchange, of course. But I've just been looking at my recent episode names for episode 68, 67, and it's basically the return, the comeback kid, and all this type of stuff. But So I've done this for the last three times, so we're going to have a completely different name now. And yes. So basically, I'm going to keep you updated with what's going on in my life, share with you the songs and the music that I love, and hopefully you'll love them too. And we'll take a look at a wrestler from the past in the WWE. Because that's what I watched when I was a kid. Sadly, I sort of got into wrestling around 1998 properly. Watched it on and off from 1991 onwards, really. So I've got a lot to catch up on when it comes to like the likes of WCW and ECW to actually know some knowledge. But as you guys know, I'm a big pro wrestling fan. Of course, I am a huge fan and do my own radio show on Forest FM right here in the United Kingdom, in the county of Dorset and in the town of Verwood for Forest FM. So I've got my own podcast channel, which I put all my back shows up on that, as well as on Spotify and on Mixcloud too. So I'm almost everywhere, so you can't get away from me. You've all been told. Right, well, as this is episode number 69, let's do something really inappropriate. No, it's not inappropriate. This is just cheesy but fun. Here is Julian Clary from his shows, I'm back in the early 90s, and I'm going to share you a song which is called Mincing Machine. Yes, Mincing Machine. This is so much fun, and it's from his show Sticky Moments. Yes, Sticky Moments. So here is Julian Clary with Mincing Machine, which probably suits me quite well, even though I don't really mince, but if I get drunk and I get a bit cheesy and a bit, you know, overconfident, maybe I might end up doing so. It's just what happens, really. Anyway, here we go.
Rather nasty incident in the press where I was accused of, what was I accused of, Russell?
Being a prancing puff, I think was the...
Yes. I thought that was a bit harsh, I thought. I was a bit hurt. And this week's song is really by way of answer to that sordid accusation.
Mincing machine. Mincing machine.
I'm a mincing machine.
Mincing machine. Mincing machine.
I am. I'm a mincing machine.
Mincing machine.
I don't care who knows it, I'm a mincing machine. There's a lot of it about. I'm not afraid to say it. I'd rather display it. My engine is running. My condition is stunning. It's not been easy saying it, but since I was 18, all those who know and love me have been proud to know that I am a mincing machine. They said, "You're a mincing machine." I said, "I am." There's a lot of it about. I'm feeling over-eager. Bring me Swarfiga. It was all a myth about me and Mike Smith. It's not been easy making friends. I've not been to tea yet with the Queen. But she'd have me to dinner and a nightcap too if she knew that I was a mincing machine. She'd say, "Come to dinner, you're a mincing machine." No need to bring anything, just come as you are. The lovely Russell is straight, but that's just fate. It doesn't bother me, and he gets his fee. It's not been easy getting here, but television land had to be seen. Watch your step, mind how you go, but please make way for a mincing machine. I'm a mincing machine. Are you a mincing machine? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that just about brings us to the end of this week's show. It just remains for me to say, on behalf of the lovely Hugh Jelly, the lovely Russell Cherney, the lovely Barb Younger and Michael Parker, and of course myself, thank you very much. I'm a mincing machine. Are you a mincing machine? I am. I'm a mincing machine. Are you a mincing machine? Thank you very much and good night.
Oh my god, do you know, I went to go and see him live in the Mayflower Theatre in Southampton on the 19th of May, and I tell you what, I had the most amazing time. His stand-up is still awesome, and he's just turned 50. Can you believe it? Julian Clare has just turned 50. So I think he would have been in his 30s. No, he wouldn't have been in his 20s then. Oh dear. A complete legend, that man. And music is just, you know, something that I live and breathe every day. As well as politics. And certainly since the Brexit referendum here in the United Kingdom, it's just got blown out of all crazy weirdness and proportions, because over the last 3 years, my country has completely changed 360. I've got to thank David Cameron for all of that messing about. And, you know, what I don't get about people who want to leave the European Union that seem to think that we're going to make our country more successful, we'll end up having a much larger, stronger economy, and you know, we'll still have the same benefits and rights as we do as a European Union member outside. And it's just not true. Any type of fact from anywhere and from anybody completely says the opposite, you know, and there's no doubt about it. So I don't know how on earth some of these people seem to think. And the majority of the people who are shouting the loudest on the BBC, on ITV, Sky News, etc., etc., they are people who are well off. And the people who are not the most well off, the working class of this great country, are going to suffer the worst. And people in those positions, in the Conservative Party, in the Brexit Party, they're going to give two, excuse my French, shits out of this at all. So I strongly suggest, you know, if you don't like this whole Brexit thing, if you want everything to sort of go back to normal, we'll be still the fifth, if not the the fourth or the third largest economy in the world. We are currently the fifth. We can still play a big part in our own economy inside the European Union. And only, you know, about 3 years ago, I joined the Liberal Democrats. And I am so happy to be a part of this great liberal movement right across the country. And just show tolerance to everybody and anybody. You know, you know, we have to start from the bottom. We have to start from the bottom. So we have to work with the problems that we have at the bottom of our society, like homelessness, the minimum wage, you know, workers' rights, which will all end up, in particular, you know, money inside people's pockets is going to disappear if we end up having a no deal Brexit, in particular. So we have a fight on our hands until October the 31st, and hope that, you know, probably by the next time I speak to you, it wouldn't have happened. But with Boris Johnson as our Prime Minister, who knows? But I mean, at least locally here in Fareham, we're trying to make a change. We've just had an increase of our membership in the last few months, and certainly since Joe Swinson has become leader of the Liberal Democrats, since Sir Vince Cable has taken a step back. And I'm very hopeful for the future, and I think Joe Swinson is a wonderful woman. She is, yes, okay, she is a career politician, but she knows what she's talking about. She's really out there working for people, and she's going to be working for our country. And I just hope so that if we end up having a general election again soon, you never know, that some positivity comes out of it all. So certainly in recent weeks and months, and if not years, I've been watching the news on a constant basis. And within the last few weeks, I tried to take a step back from watching the news. And the reason for that is because I'm starting to feel a little bit more depressed. As many of you guys know, I've had, you know, real anxiety and stress issues from various things that have happened. And it's still, things have not gone away. So I need to keep well away from that. Otherwise, it just ends up making me feel a bit more miserable and angry. As some of you guys may know on Twitter, if you follow me at KieranUD. Yeah, so you gotta balance things up, of course. By the way, just to point out, my brother and two of my brothers, Connell and Brendan, who we've had here on the Tuts Experience before, they're actually going to be with me at some point soon, and we're going to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yes, we are indeed, and stay tuned for that, as we've become huge pro wrestling fans. And in particular of New Japan Pro Wrestling, because WWE is a bit naff. Yeah. But we're going to have some more music, and then we come back. We're going to talk about a WWE professional wrestler from the past. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Take It Off by Sergei Lazarev from Russia. And that was Sergei Lazarev's hit in 2012. And the reason why I played it is because it got to number, wait for it, 69 in the Russian charts in 2012. Oh, dear. Oh, it's so funny. But... So fun. But what a great, great, great song. I love that. Going to the gym playing that is awesome. Though I've got to be very careful because I try to sort of like lift up my shirt and yeah, and then it gets a bit scary. Yeah, for everybody and myself, for my own sanity. Right, now let's take a look at a WWE or WWF professional wrestler from the past. And this is the wrestler we're going to be doing today.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Yes, we're going to look at Yokozuna, or his real name, Rodney Akaputu Anoi. Now, he was born on October the 2nd, 1966, and he passed away on October the 23rd, 2000. Was an American professional wrestler, best known for his time in the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF, where he wrestled under the ring name Yokozuna. The name was referenced to the highest rank in professional sumo wrestling in Japan. Although the Yokozuna character was portrayed as a champion sumo wrestler, no, I never competed in an actual Samoan wrestling match, though Yokozuna wrestled as a representative of Japan, but in real life, Anoa'i was a Samoan American and was accordingly billed to be hailing from Polynesia. However, he was managed by the Japanese character Mr. Fuji, in reality a Japanese American, who would follow Anoa'i to the ring with a wooden bucket of salt waving a Japanese flag. Now, in the WWF, Anoa'i was a two-time World Wrestling Federation World Heavyweight Champion. He was a two-time World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champion with Owen Hart, as well as the winner of the 1993 Royal Rumble. Anoa'i was the first wrestler from Samoan descent to hold the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship, as well as the first Royal Rumble winner who as a result of direct stipulation received a WWF World Championship title shot at WrestleMania. So that's when it really matters in 1993, the first one. He defeated WWE Hall of Famers Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan in consecutive pay-per-view victories in the main event of WrestleMania 9. And at King of the Ring 1993, respectively. To win his two WWF championships, he also headlined WrestleMania 10 against Bret Hart. And he was the third fastest newcomer after Brock Lesnar and Sheamus to win the WWF or WWE Championship after their debut. And then I was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2012. So Yuka Uzuna had two children, and he's had various ring names throughout his pro wrestling career, called the Great Coquina, the Wild Samoan Coquina, Coquina Maximus, and also Yokozuna. His height was 6'4", and his build weight, so his weight was 589 pounds. Yes. So he started his pro wrestling career in the American Wrestling Association from 1984 until 1991. And then he joined the WWF in 1992. He grew up wrestling with his uncles, the Wild Samoans, Afa and Sika. And the interesting thing here is that Yokozuna practically is related to Roman Reigns. So then The Rock, of course. So there you go. But basically, he has faced so many people over the years, Yokozuna. He got to face the Macho Man, Randy Savage, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Bret Hart, Bam Bam Bigelow, Hulk Hogan, and not forgetting also The Undertaker, Lex Luger, and also Rowdy Roddy Piper. The list goes on. Crush, oh dearie me. And obviously, teaming up with Owen Hart in April of 1995, they faced the Smoking Guns, Billy and Bart Gunn. And also, they faced the Allied Powers, which was Lex Luger and Davey Boy Smith, at WrestleMania 11. Yeah, I remember that match. And when that, the whole show was weird. Very, very strange. Also, dearie me, now this is interesting. Now, Yokozuna, now weighing at 660 pounds, which is 300 kilograms, had little continued success in 1996 in the WWF. He competed at the 96 Royal Rumble, managing to eliminate Bob Backlund, King Mabel, and SWAT team member number two. I don't know who that was. Before being tossed out by Shawn Michaels, who was the eventual winner. Although Cornette had tried to make peace with him and new acquisition Vader, many observers felt Yokozuna was being relegated. And after several run-ins, Yokozuna left Cornette and began a short stint as a fan favourite. He spoke English to the fans, had Mr. Fuji wave an American flag during his matches, and challenged Vader to numerous matches. And during the feud that Yokozuna teamed up with Ahmed Johnson and Jake Roberts for a six-man tag match at WrestleMania 12, facing off against Vader, Owen Hart, and the British Bulldog, the feud took a painful turn a couple of weeks later on April the 8th, when Vader jumped on Yokozuna's leg, which is basically, it was a kayfabe breaking. The splash was shown on television as a leg break, and in reality it was performed to allow Yokozuna to take some time off to lose some weight. However, instead of a stretcher, the forklift had to be brought out to carry Yokozuna out on that edition of Raw. It was the only way to move a man of Yokozuna's size. Yokozuna returned at In Your House, Beware of Dog to face Vader. During the event, a severe thunderstorm caused pay-per-view broadcast feed to blackout, and in one of the matches not broadcast was Yokozuna, who defeated Vader. The event was rescheduled 2 days later, and in the matches was previously blacked out took place again, and in the rematch Vader defeated Yokozuna. He appeared at the Freefall just before SummerSlam, facing off against Stone Cold Steve Austin, which Stone Cold won. Yokozuna took the advantage by the end of the match, but he went on to do a banzai drop, but the rope broke, sending crashing down, and Austin managed to roll up Yokozuna somewhat and gain the victory. The next night on Raw, Yokozuna faced then the WWF champion Shawn Michaels for the championship, teasing a heel turn. Despite using his big size, Yokozuna lost the match to Michaels, and in his final WWF appearance at the 96 Survivor Series, still going after Vader. However, he briefly entered the match illegally and ended up with all remaining wrestlers being disqualified for the second time. Yokozuna went to his home in Los Angeles to lose weight through exercise and dieting, being replaced by other wrestlers on the late November tour of the United Kingdom. Despite dropping a reported 100 pounds, 45 kilograms, he still could not lose enough to satisfy WWF officials and was not medically cleared to wrestle in some states because of his physical condition. Yokozuna was unable to pass the physical required by professional wrestlers by the New York State Athletics Commission, so he had to leave. So after his WWF career, he performed in various independent promotions. The vast majority of Yokozuna were appearance of the last major appearance of Yokozuna was in October 1999's Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view. It was estimated 776 pounds, or 345 kilograms. He had not only gained weight, but he lost, but admitted he was intentionally getting bigger, with a goal weight of between 850 to 900 pounds, so that he could set a new record for the heaviest professional wrestler. At the pay-per-view event, Yokozuna was scheduled to take on King Kong Bundy in one of the event's two featured matches. However, Jake Roberts, who was scheduled to face Jim the Anvil Neidhart in another main event match, came to the ring for his match intoxicated, in no condition to wrestle. The promoters made a last-minute change and ordered Yokozuna to team with Roberts against Bundy and Neidhart, and Yokozuna's team lost. But on October the 23rd, 2000, an OI died from a pulmonary edema, which is a fluid accumulation of tissue and air spaces in the lungs. It leads to impaired gas exchange and may cause respiratory failure. In his room in the Moat House Hotel in Liverpool, England, while on an independent wrestling tour in Europe. And at the time, it was widely reported that he died of heart failure or a heart attack, but this was later found to be incorrect due to his lungs showing severe signs of blockage of fluid. Now, there was a big, vicious rumor when I was younger, the fact that Yokozuna passed away from being scared of spiders, and they found a spider in his bathroom, which was obviously completely wrong. Anyway, so just to let you know of some accomplishments that Yokozuna had, the PWI ranked him number 5 out of the 500 best singles wrestlers in 1993, but in 2003 PWI ranked him 145 of the 500 best single wrestlers during the PWI years in 2003. Yes, so there we are. That is Yokozuna, gone from this world far too early, passing away at the age of 34. Right, and that is it for us taking a look at a professional wrestler from the past. Let's continue with some music. certainly different from Celine Dion's version. That is Sarah Brightman with Immortal Call Eva, which means My Heart Goes On. Yes, Eva is Sarah Brightman. Isn't she just amazing? You know, I always will forever love Celine Dion. I think Celine Dion is my favourite singer of all time. Just, I could listen to her all day and I would not get bored. And funny thing is on TuneIn Radio, there is an internet radio station which just plays Celine Dion music all the time, all day. It's amazing. It really is good. I strongly recommend it. Now, we're going to take a look at a Eurovision year from the past. Yes, and I'm going to play you a montage of all the songs from the Eurovision Song Contest of a particular year. And this is the year we're going to do. Yeah, yeah, you're ready, you're ready, you're ready, you're ready. Okay, we're going to do 1996 from the Oslo Spectrum in Oslo, Norway. We're first going to start off with some of the non-qualifiers of 1996. And first up, it's the song that didn't qualify for Romania. And this is the Israeli song. And then this was the Russian song that didn't qualify. And then Macedonia. Denmark. And then Germany. And then Hungary. And we had the host Ingvild Bling and Morten Harkett.
Buenas noches, España.
Buenas noches, Elada.
Yeah, they did their very strange intro. First song, Turkey, Senlim Parker. Number two, the United Kingdom. Number three is Spain. I'm the KLSAO. Number four, Portugal. Luisa Moniz. Number five, Cyprus, Konstantinos Christofouros. Number four, number six is Malta, Miriam Christine. Number seven is Croatia, Magia Bagdale. Number eight is Austria. George Nussbaum.
Und wer kennt die Omama? Oh, spielst du nicht? Glaubst du nicht? Du kannst nicht tun, was du willst. Skadat du dir
schon. Number 9 is Switzerland. Cathy Leander. Number 10 is Greece, Mariana Ophitrastiou. Number 11, Estonia, Maria Ivolina. Number 12 is Norway, Elisabeth Andreasson. Number 13 is France, Danabras de la Halitage Antiquette. Number 14 is Slovenia, Regina. Number 15 is the Netherlands, Maxine of Franklin Brown. Number 16 is Belgium, Isa Del Bo. Leave the visit card spell. Life is a card. Number 17 is the Irish winner, Emma Quinn. Number 18 is Finland, Jasmine. Number 19 is Iceland and Amor. Number 20 is Poland, Kasia Karolska. Number 21 is Bosnia and Herzegovina, Halima Glanja. Number 22 is Slovakia, Marcel Polonka. And finally, number 23 is Sweden. One more time. Random recap and interval act.
Malta, 10 points.
Malta, 10 points. Malt, Dipra. And now.
And finally.
Finally.
Ireland, 12 points.
Got the first top score in Eurosong.
Irland. Vi fremdeles nummer to med 104 poeng. Det vil si at vi har 44 poeng å gå på. Det umulig å ta igjen.
After the ranking. That is all of the gifts we have given you, sweets. 156 points, while you have given us only 82. So you owe us...
We'll see if we can change that tonight.
Yes, because you owe us 76 points, so maybe we can get them tonight.
So happened. Right. Norway, 10 points.
Norway, 10 points from
Sweden. For andre tergammelt også I 1994 med Rock and Roll Kids. Og Charlie Gettigan og Paul Harrington.
Congratulations!
På scenen møter Emir Quinn, en landsmann av
What an amazing winner and an amazing contest. I love 1996, so one of my favourites. Well, that is it for the Tuts Experience for another week. And, well, maybe another year, maybe another month, who knows. But I will be back every so often. And next time we'll be back with episode number 70. Yes, we can move over from this filth of 1969. Sorry, 69. Yes, you know what I mean. Right, so if you want to follow us, or me, you can follow me on Twitter at Kieran UT. Yes, Kieran UT. We are still on Twitter at Tuts Experience, and our Facebook page is the Tuts Experience too. So, but I don't use it that often these days. If you want to request, you can, or you want to email into the show, you can. TutsExperience@hotmail.com. Okay, so take care of yourselves, and I will obviously leave you in just a few moments with the thing that we do every time, is that leave you with a bit of a comedy segment. Yes, I will indeed. So take care of yourselves, and I'll see you soon. Arrivederci, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, bis la, do bisogna, and I'll see you all very soon. Bye. Toodaloo.
What's the French for innuendo?
Is it double entendre?
Oh!
Now, just remember that double entendre is French for big tits, isn't it?
The double entendre means nothing to a Frenchman. You could say double entente. Entente is like a...
two-man tent.
Or double sens, double sense, but they don't say double entendre.
So it's a French phrase that the French don't use. So it's
yes.
Not French.
Exactly. And that's precisely what this round of questions is about. There are other examples of that. Suppose you're at a performance, someone is very brilliant, and you want them to perform again.
Encore.
You'd shout encore. What would they shout in France?
More.
Good thought. But encore is a French word meaning more, but they don't shout encore when they want. They shout a Latin word, which means twice.
Mm. Anyone?
Anyone in the audience? Bis, bis, B-I-S.
Beef,
beef, beef, beef. Beef, beef. Yeah, that's what they shout.
That's crap.
Try encore.
You need to do a show, wouldn't you? And at the end, everyone goes beef. Try that.
Well, there are other phrases which we use, which sound French, but again mean nothing to a Frenchman. Cause célèbre is not a French phrase. Like ensuite for a bathroom, the French wouldn't, they go, what?
Yeah. What about bidet?
Bidet they do indeed have, though it's easier really to do a handstand in the shower, to be honest. and if you want the expense of myself a B-Day. Yes.
Easier.
If you're as nimble as I am. Yeah.
I'd pay good money to see that. I'd like to see you doing that with a camera going, tweet this.
The trouble is with the handstand in the shower, though. It's yes. Like, you know when you see a mountain stream and you think, the water looks all right, but it's, I don't know where it's been further on. When you're upside down and this water is pouring across your face, lodging in your nostrils, and you know that it's been...
That's a worry.
That's right. What puts... I had a friend who, he had read somewhere that if you slept upside down, it made you more intelligent. Because the blood went to your brain.
Yeah.
And I became obsessed with the idea that he would have a wet dream and die.
Oh, that's so, in so many ways, a horrific image. Oh. So, yes, there are words we use, décolletage, for example, we use for that. The French has used décolleté for that, not décolletage.
Excuse me, when you say we, you mean you.
Well... It's not a common phrase, but it's...
No, it's not. No. There is a look at the décolletage on that.
Could you put...
You never stop learning. I've already learned how to say to my teenage sons, look at the knockers on that, without the mum getting annoyed.
And now you can say décolletage.
Décolletage.
I thought you. Also, ensuite, which is used commonly these days, for a bathroom that's connected to a bedroom. In France, they didn't use the phrase ensuite.
And, of course, the ensuite.
Exactly.
That's commonly used.
There's a Greek phrase. The Greeks say katatriastaieftika, I think it is. And it means, who gives a shit? No. But literally, it means, there is trouble in the gypsy village.
Depending on where you are on the social calendar, it's right, isn't it? It's, you know, posh people wouldn't give a shit if they were.
Anyway, that's the point. You can ask a Frenchman for a double entendre if you like, but you'd be lucky if he gives you one. Now to some...
Hey!
Thank you very much.